I do appreciate the choir coming down for a better view this morning. I understand, guys. Totally understandable. Now, we'll forgive you today. It's a little warm if you haven't noticed. We're having issues with one of our sanctuary air conditioners to be repaired ASAP, I promise. But let's get down to business this morning. We're looking in Matthew chapter 14. At a familiar story, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. If you do not have a copy of God's Word with you, look right there in front of you in the pew, and there's a red book. Turn to page 1129 in there and find verse 22. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to take that one home with you and use that. Read it. Let it impact you. Let that be a gift from us here at First Baptist Church. Today, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 23. As is our tradition here, will you rise for the reading of the words of our Lord this morning? I love that Pastor Matt does that. It's not something I've normally done in my ministry, but I like that, so here we go. The Word of God says this: immediately, He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowds. And after He dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when evening came, He was there alone. But by this time, the boat was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Let's pray together. Father, we pray today more than anything that You will take this word and change our hearts. Make us more like Your Son today. May You hide this word in our hearts so that we may not sin against You. May You use it to cut off rough edges. May You use it to convict. May You use it to encourage and discipline us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I was a kid, I loved movies in general, but there was one franchise that was really kind of one of my favorites, and I'm sure you've heard of it, even if you haven't seen the movies, the Indiana Jones movies from the very beginning on until they made that Crystal Skull debacle a couple years ago. I won't go into that. But anyway, so I have some favorite scenes like you might of your movies, and maybe you have some of these from the very beginning of the series, which was probably one of the greatest opening scenes in movie history, the golden idol switching, the running through the tunnel with the rock chasing him, and you know, to the "why'd it have to be snakes" scene, to jumping out of a plane with a life raft. All of these things are favorite scenes, but there's one that sticks out to me, and I remember thinking on it through the years, and it comes in the third movie about the search for the Holy Grail. And what we find is Indiana Jones here running through kind of a medieval maze of saw blades and pitfalls and all of these sorts of things and tests of courage. He's trying to save his father. Time is of the essence. And he runs up against a cliff, or into a cliff rather. And between him and the other side, there's a deep chasm, and it's wide. And he knows he has to get to the other side, and he also knows, according to the script writers, that all he has to do is take a leap of faith. The other side is about 50 feet away, by the way. You know, Indiana is standing where a lot of us have stood, and that is on the edge of a pathway that we can't see how to cross. And yet we know God is on the other side saying, come. Come to me. Come follow me. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. I've been at the point where I've walked through the maze, I've gotten to the chasm, and I have thought that all along I have been walking by faith. I thought, I've done this life thing, and I put my faith and trust in God, and here I am, where the Lord has brought me here through my faith, and I come to a place, a cliff in life, and I can't see how to get across. And it's in that moment that I realize something. I haven't really been walking by faith. I've been walking by sight. You see, it's when you come to those cliffs, it's when you can't clearly see the way forward that your faith in God is tested. Now, we're looking at a real life story here from the Apostle Peter, who was doing the exact same thing. Here was Peter standing on a perfectly good boat, you know, being called to do something he knew very well he couldn't do. He was in the middle of the sea with a raging storm around him, and there is Jesus calling to him, come. What does Peter do? In our passage today, I want you to see four principles with me. Four principles for finding your faith in the middle of life's storms. That could be kind of an alternate title, but it's what we do when we're faced with the storms of life, how we should react. Four principles. The first, you've got to get out of the boat if you want to walk on water. Secondly, walk by faith, not by sight. Third, keep your eyes on Jesus. And fourth, when faith falters, cry out to Jesus. So beginning in verse 29, first, you've got to get out of the boat if you want to walk on water. Look at verse 29 with me. He said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. You know, we often criticize old Peter, and preachers are guilty of this as well, and maybe we have a right to in some ways, but we look at this passage, and what we see oftentimes is just the fact that Peter began to sink. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. Peter's the disciple who had to be rescued. But remember, more than that, Peter's the disciple that got out of the boat. Peter's the only one that put his faith in action. He did something incredible, really, that only one other human being in the history of the world, as far as I know, ever did. And that other person was Jesus, who was doing it right here in our story. This is something unheard of, something impossible. He did it because he had the courage and the faith to step out of the boat. You know, I'm going to say something real obvious here. For Peter, it was a literal boat. Okay? It was a literal boat. Wood, rope, tar, pitch, maybe some nails. It was a literal boat. And Peter had to do something incredible to step out of that boat. But I think we can and we should apply this passage across the board. You see, what the boat was to Peter, what it represented to him, is something that every one of us have, and that is man-made security. It's something that I've produced or that I can put my hands on. I've tested before. I know the wood of this deck is solid. I've sailed this boat through storms. It represents our human efforts to remain safe and comfortable and secure. That security that we've provided for ourselves that we know. Maybe for us today, maybe for you, that boat is a job. Maybe it's a relationship, a natural gifting, a bank account. Maybe you're health even. And while Peter leaves the boat behind, we realize you can't leave those things behind. I don't think the Bible is teaching us to leave behind your relationships or your job or whatever. But it doesn't mean leave them behind. What Peter does when he gets out of the boat is he puts his trust in something greater than the boat. He doesn't abandon the boat and swear them off and say, I'm never getting in boats again, or boats are of the devil. He gets out of the boat because there's something greater in the water that says, come. He puts his trust in Jesus. And he does something he can't do in the boat. He does something the boat could never do for him. He's demonstrating that he no longer relies on it for his safety. You know, marriage is wonderful. Fatherhood or being a brother or sister is a wonderful thing. Having a job is great. But we cannot rely on those things, put our faith in those things. As a matter of fact, maybe it's your marriage today that is the storm in your life. What do we do when we put our faith in our job and it becomes the storm? Where do we go then? Great things, as Matt says a lot, lousy gods. We put our faith in something greater, something unchangeable. So getting out of the boat is about our faith, but it's also about taking chances. It's about taking chances. Notice that Peter volunteered to get out of the boat. I think that's kind of lost on us as well. Jesus didn't walk up to the boat and says, come on guys, we're walking the rest of the way. He didn't say that. He walks up to the boat and probably, presumably, was going to pass right on by. I don't know. But either way, Peter looks out there and he says, Lord, if it's you, I want to join you. Tell me to come. He volunteers to get out of the boat. If you're ready to grow spiritually and be challenged, you've got to put God's power to the test. Now, what I mean by that is not that you test God. That's something altogether different. This is more like proving God. This is taking Him at His word. This is taking Him up on His offer to give you power. This is taking Him up on His offer to grant you blessing and benefits. He wants you to believe in Him. He wants you to take Him up on His offer. So if you're fine with the way things are, then by all means, just sit there and don't do anything different. Don't expand your horizons. Don't grow your faith. Just sit and do nothing. And you know what? The same thing is going to keep happening to you. If you demand more from your spiritual life, you will get it. You will get it. If you dig deeper and stop relying just on human power, you start getting out of that boat occasionally, the Lord will grow your faith. It can be applied to individuals. It can be applied to other things like churches. First Baptist Church here. You know, if we want to see God do something awesome here at First Baptist, we can do the same thing and get out of the boat. You know, we've been in the boat for a long time, and most churches have. And it gets them from point A to point B just fine. You know, they can pay the bills and see a few baptisms, and that's a good thing. But wouldn't you love for just once to get out and dance on those waves? We can't do that from the security of what we can see. We can't do that from the boat. Security of relying on key church leaders to do everything. The security of looking at our bank account for encouragement and support. Security of plenty of buildings and programs that have been built and worked for years. As I said before, you don't abandon those things. They're great, but you stop relying on them and banking on those things to do something. Instead, we turn our attention to the things only God can do. We put our collective faith in something bigger than money and men and methods. We rely on God's power. And who knows, if we get out of the boat we've been rowing, maybe God will take us somewhere we didn't know we could go. We've got to be willing. Christian, are you willing to get out of the boat today and stop relying on your own human power? It's so hard. It's harder than you can imagine. listen, I've not mastered this. I'm not sitting here saying, look at what I've done. I wish I could do this as well as I should. But we're all in the boat together, so to speak. It is so hard. It is so hard to put our trust into something we cannot see. To get out of that boat. Are we willing to do that? I hope so. Secondly, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at verse 30. The first part of verse 30 with me says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. Now, when it says he saw the wind, it means the storm, right? He saw what the wind was doing. We know from the beginning of the story that the wind was buffeting the boat and the waves were rising and crashing. It was a violent storm. And when Peter looked around and he saw it, he was afraid. You might have heard it said before, and it's true that Peter's problems began when he took his eyes off Jesus. Do you want to keep your faith in Jesus? Don't take your eyes off of him. It's pretty simple, actually. Maybe you're wondering why you're drowning in life's cares and things are difficult. You feel burnt out. You feel trapped. You're struggling. You're depressed. You feel overwhelmed with life's cares. You don't see how you have the strength to do it all. You don't see where the help is going to come from. Where are your eyes, I would ask you? What are you focusing on? To what do you look for strength? Maybe you're looking to your health for strength. Young, strapping man or woman, and you think, long as I can, you know, go out and work hard, or as long as I can, you know, provide for my family and do whatever I need to do, you don't have to look very far to find someone whose health has failed them. Not all of them have lived decades upon decades. Some of them are your age. Your health is not a guarantee. Maybe you think your job is the guarantee. I don't even have to tell you to look around. You know some people who found that out. There's no such thing as job security in this world. Where are your eyes? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your family. Sadly, there are many in here today who could tell you that also is not permanent. It's not a guarantee. You'll have those people in your life. Where do you look to for strength in the storms? I submit to you, look to Christ. He will always be there. And if you keep your eyes on Him, your faith won't falter. It won't turn to doubt. You see, for Peter, his problems began when he shifted his eyes to the waves and the wind. I can imagine he's out there walking on the water, and I've never walked on water before. Anybody? Okay. I don't know what it felt like, but I can imagine it felt very different from a boat. You know, the rough wood under his feet, the railings that he can grab a hold to. And he's walking on the water, and probably instinctually he thought, this isn't right. And he looks around, looks for the safety of the boat, and it's not there. You see, Peter's mistake was that he removed his attention from the object of his faith. And he placed it on the object of his fear. That is a common mistake. As a matter of fact, I would say that is a typical mistake. What we do in the Christian life is we don't focus on Jesus. We focus on the things that we're scared of, the things that we don't want to happen. If our marriage is difficult, crumbling, maybe it's just not as good as we think, then we just hunker down and focus on that, put our blinders on, and Jesus is over here in the periphery somewhere, and then we wring our hands and worry, is it ever going to get better? Apply that to bank account, to money, health, whatever. And you know what happens? You take your eyes off Jesus, you lose faith, you lose ground, you begin to sink. See, Peter let his worries and his anxieties dictate his belief. He looked around and his eyes told him something. It told him, Peter, you're in the middle of the ocean. It's a night and there's a storm. There's a wave coming. And he said, you know what, eyes, you're right. I can't do this. What am I doing out here? Where's my boat? And you know what Peter ultimately chose to believe in this moment? He chose to believe his eyes. He chose to go with what his eyes could see, what he could perceive with his own human hands and heart and his eyes, what he could put his hands on. And that's why he began to sink. But I want you to see something very important here, just kind of a tangent here. I've thought about this before, and it's kind of amazing. This whole story, by the way, I'm just scratching the surface of this story. There's so much more here. I'd encourage you to read on your own and study on your own. But this is one of those things I couldn't let pass by. I thought about this. Think about where Peter is. I'd toy with the idea of having you answer out loud, but I don't know how that would go. But think about an answer in your head anyway. Where is Peter when the wind and the waves rise up, and when Peter takes his eyes and he looks on the waves, when his faith begins to falter, where is he? Folks, he's walking on water. He's not drowning at this point. He's not shipwrecked. Things are going pretty great. He is experiencing a supernatural work of God at the moment when his faith trembles, falters. Don't lose sight of this. We can never let our guard down, and I would say maybe even especially when things are going well. We tend to think, well, I got this now. Let our guard down a little bit. Maybe we tend to second guess in the middle of the Lord blessing us and look around and say, you know, God, you got me this far on the water. Maybe I'll take a couple steps on my own. It doesn't work that way. I just think it's so helpful for us to see, because what's going to happen for you is you're going to get out of that boat and you're going to walk on the water and you're going to think, man, I'm doing so great. And then when you sink, you're going to look and say, that preacher told me I was going to get out and walk on the water. And in reality, at times you will sink. You will stumble. We'll get to what happens when you stumble in just a minute. But look at verse 31b, the second half of verse 31, and for our third point here. Jesus says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? We've got to learn to trust God, take Him at His word, take His promises, and trust them more than our own sight. I know I'm kind of overlapping a couple points here, you'll forgive me. But we've got to trust, even though it looks rough, we know that God is in control. You know, for the big things in life, the tsunamis and the earthquakes and the world wars and the things that are just monumental scale, we kind of are able to say, well, yeah, let's all rally and put our faith in God and let's trust. But sometimes when it comes to the smaller things that are affecting us, I've said before, our marriages, the death of a loved one, bills. Maybe it's your spouse's ex-wife or husband that's just making life difficult. When we're scared, when things don't go as planned, when tragedy strikes, when God calls you to do something you don't think you can do, put your trust in the Lord. Walk by faith and not by sight. That is, train your eyes not to see the waves of life, but to stay on Jesus and to look with expectant hope to the future. Because let me ask you this, can you have true faith if you're riddled with doubt? That's a real question. That's not a rhetorical question. Can you really be exercising your faith and at the same time have doubt? Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a way I'm not seeing this, but I don't think so. I think those two are mutually exclusive. I think it's one or the other. When Jesus says to Peter, "You have little faith," what he means there is not so much, "Peter, your faith isn't strong." It's that you have gaps in your faith. You have gaps. You're missing some spots. You see, because I believe that a weak faith isn't a faith that is weak, but as so much as it is incomplete. We're missing spots. Let me give you an example. See, we believe that God will do some things, or God is able to do some things, but we don't believe He's able to do other things. That is, I believe God is able to take my paycheck and feed my family. Yes. Now when I lose my job, I'm not so sure He can take care of it without my money that I've earned with my hands and my education at my job. I have a gap in my faith. It's incomplete. Listen to me here. When faith wavers, it's not growing weaker, it's becoming doubt. I think maybe we've softened the blow and say, "Well, my faith just isn't as strong." No, that's called doubt. That's the opposite of faith. When I cease to believe, or when I don't trust, that is doubt. And when Peter's out there walking on the water and his faith begins to falter and he looks at the waves, he doesn't just kind of, sink a little bit and get his hem of his robe wet. He goes down like a rock, pun intended. He sinks. He took his eyes off Jesus for a moment. His faith turned to doubt. His confidence turned to fear, and he sank. Now, I don't want you to hear me saying that faith is like an on-off switch. It's true, it does grow, and it does expand. But I think it grows and it expands a piece at a time. As you exercise faith, you grow faithful in a new aspect of your life, in a new area. You give something else over to God. You trust something more to the Lord. And every decision that we make, whether we decide to believe or doubt, that determines the strength of our faith. I think this whole passage is fascinating. It's filled with oddities and interesting facts. And the fact that Peter sinks, he loses faith while he's doing something miraculous. And then here, the fact that Jesus calls him a little faith one. And in Greek, that's a kind of a nickname. It's a noun there. "You little faith one." He calls him a little faith one, the dude who just got out and walked on the water. And I have to say, that makes me feel pretty great. If he's a little faith one, what does that make me? What does that make you? I've never done anything like this. I think the problem with that for me is I'm comparing myself to Peter. I don't really come out good in that comparison either. But who is Peter compared to? He's compared to the guy who actually was walking on the water. Newsflash, so are you. So am I. We can look around and say, "Well, I have more faith than that guy." We're never going to be perfect this side of glory, but never be satisfied to be better than that guy. Peter needed more faith. Even though he walked on the water, his faith was incomplete. I think Peter did two things that were amazing here for us within seconds. One, he demonstrated the amazing power of faith and what is possible when you put your faith in Jesus. You can do things that are impossible. And then a moment later, he demonstrated the fragility of human faith. The fact that we're so easily entangled with doubt, which is why we need Jesus. That leads me to our fourth point here. The last part of verse 30 and the first part of verse 31 go together here. It says, "He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him." He immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. This is probably the most important thing in the passage. It's probably the best lesson that Peter could teach us today. It says, when he lost his faith, when he began to walk by sight, and when he began to sink, he called out for Jesus. I think this is a when, not an if for us. When we stumble, when our faith falters, when we choose not to exercise it, when our faith turns to doubt, we call out to Jesus. The important thing to remember here is Jesus didn't let Peter drown. He didn't say, well, you had your chance, Peter, you blew it. He didn't say, well, you know how to swim, you're a fisherman. He reached down, the Bible says, immediately. As the old song says, he snatched him out of those angry waves. Peter knew enough that when his faith began to falter, he called out to Jesus because he knew from the very beginning that his salvation did not depend on what he could see. That is, his own strength had depended on his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the most important lesson for us all today. Salvation does not depend on us. Again, one of those things in here I think is interesting, that's kind of there under the surface. Where was Peter when he began to sink? He was on the water, but how far? I don't know. Maybe he was 2 steps from the boat or 20. But I think it's interesting that Peter, when he begins to sink, his instinct here is a good one. He doesn't turn and swim for the boat. No. He cries out, Jesus, Lord, save me. And you and I should do the same. I think maybe this is probably the key mistake that we make. When we lose that job, we begin to scramble and we put our faith in finding another one. That's the only thing that could save me right now. We're scrambling for that boat we just got out of. I'm not saying don't look for a job, do. But don't put your faith in that. Don't put your hope and your security in that. That man-made security blanket that you've got. That when you put that thing around you, you say, oh, I've got the income now, nothing can touch me. Life is going to be great, no more problems. As long as I can earn the money, or as long as I have this person in my life, or as long as I have my health, or whatever that is. We struggle against that idea. Peter called out to Jesus. He looked to Jesus for true security, true salvation. You know, we're as helpless as Peter that night sinking into the pitch black sea. But praise God, Jesus won't let you drown. You might stumble, but He won't let you fall headlong. He's not put anything on you heavier than you can bear. Our faith may have saved us through grace, but it is the Lord's mercy and power that keep us and protect us. You know, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where Jesus is confronting a man about his son and he's healing, and he says, if you have faith, it can be done. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It sounds ridiculous. But I guarantee you that's a prayer that every one of us has lifted up through the years. I hope you have. I do believe, Lord, but there's gaps in my faith. Help my unbelief. I have doubts. You know, God answers that prayer. He does. He'll fill in those gaps in your faith. I'm not saying He'll exercise faith for you. He won't do that. But he overcomes those. He fills in those gaps with his Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, there's a powerful passage that talks about victory. And John says, everyone who's been born of God has overcome the world. And this is our victory, he says, our faith. And then you say, well, if it's up to me, if it's up to my faith, man, I'm in trouble. But then he goes on to say, everyone who believes in Jesus as the Son of God has faith. This is what he means. Your connection to Jesus, your trust in Jesus is what gets you through. God, help my unbelief. I want you to think about Peter's experience today. Maybe you're out here today and you're still in that boat. You've never been saved. You've never put your trust in Jesus. You don't think He can save you. You think you're going to save yourself, maybe, or maybe you think you don't need saving. I tell you, you're wrong on both accounts. Jesus wants to save you from yourself, from your sin, from eternal damnation. He wants to take those sins from you. He's paid for them by dying on the cross. Put your trust in Him today. Maybe you're a believer and you still struggle to trust Jesus with the big issues of your life. I think that's probably where most of us stand today. I believe in Jesus. I think He can take care of me as long as I can look around and I see everything's okay. But with the big issues, the big problems, my faith shows the gaps. I start to doubt. Put your trust in something greater than what you can see. Put your trust in something more than the security that you've created for yourself, and you won't be let down. Maybe you're here today and you're like Peter, you've already jumped out of that boat. You're on the water and then you took your eyes off Jesus. You were doing so good. And you're wondering what happened. I'll tell you what happened, Christian. You took your eyes off Jesus. You looked at the waves. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Get back on track today. Quit focusing on what's wrong with life. Focus on Jesus. If all you ever do is think about sin and difficulties in life, that's a miserable way to live. Put your faith, put your eyes, put your focus on Jesus. In just a minute, the musicians are going to play, and we're going to offer an invitation for those who would like to come forward and pray, those who might want to come forward and talk to me. If you have questions about what it means to put your faith in Jesus, what that looks like, I'd be glad to talk with you. Maybe you have questions about membership here at First Baptist. Again, I'd be glad to tell you some things and get to know you a little bit and talk to you about that as well. Or maybe you just want to pray with someone. I'll be here for that as well. Also, you can come and pray on the steps of the altar here this morning. But as the musicians play in just a moment, won't you come? Let me pray for us. Father, we pray today that You would indeed call us to come and to do something we cannot do in our own power. I pray, Father, that You would call us at First Baptist Church to do something that we can't do with what we currently have in stock, that we'd need to exercise our faith. I pray that You would reach out today in this congregation and touch those hearts and lives that are struggling with faith, they're struggling with difficulty. Lord, and help them to refocus their lives on Jesus Christ. Snatch them out of those angry waves, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.